chapter 20, verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them, and then came Jesus. Everybody say, "Then came Jesus." The doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Three beautiful words right there in the midst of a time of doubt, a time of uncertainty. We read these powerful words, "Then came Jesus." Right there, as they were wondering where Jesus was, he had been crucified. They had seen him crucified on the cross. They're sitting there and they're talking about how they had seen Jesus. Right there, as Thomas, in a moment of doubt, we read these three words, "Then came Jesus." Hallelujah. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your word. We ask you to speak to us today through your word, Lord God. Touch lives. Change us, Lord God. Soften our hearts right now, Lord God, to receive your word, the seed of your word into our lives, that it would profit us in Jesus' name. And everybody say, "In the name of Jesus." Amen. You may be seated. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Then came Jesus." It's a wonderful account, this story. You would all know about this guy named Thomas. When I say Thomas in the Bible, what do we think? We immediately think about doubting Thomas. It's unfortunate for Thomas that this one moment of doubt, he was tagged, or he was known for the rest of his life as a doubter, even in the year 2013, when the name Thomas is mentioned. When we talk about Thomas from the Bible, we immediately think of the term doubting Thomas. You see, Thomas had an experience with Jesus Christ that day. I want to say very clearly at the outset, when you have an experience with Jesus Christ, you will not only know him as God, but you will submit to him and you will know him, as Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." You see, it's one thing to recognize that Jesus is God, but it's another thing to submit to his lordship. It's another thing to make him the owner and the driver and put him in the driving seat of your life. Make him the boss, the master, the Lord of everything. It's one thing to say Jesus is God, but it's another thing to say he is my Lord. So I want to focus today just for a few moments on these three words, "Then came Jesus." You see, Jesus had been crucified. In John chapter 19, we read about the crucifixion of Jesus. In John chapter 20, we read that Jesus is risen from the dead just as he said he would. And they found an empty tomb, and they had known that Jesus had risen. Some disciples, in fact, had seen Jesus. They'd seen him, and they were telling the others of the story that Jesus had risen. They're getting around, they're saying, "You know, we saw Jesus. He has risen from the dead." And many people would have been thinking in their mind, well, it was only a few days ago we saw Jesus on a cross. It was only a few days ago that we were weeping at the foot of the cross. But the disciples are going around, they're saying, "You know what? We have seen Jesus. He is risen from the dead." And here they are, the Bible says, for 8 days they'd been sitting in the house. And they're talking about how they had seen Jesus. And amongst them, amongst the disciples, was a disciple named Thomas. He was in the room with them. He was in the room with those that had seen Jesus. Thomas was not an intruder. He was not a foreigner. He was one of the leaders. Thomas was one of the inside crowd. And as they're talking about how they had seen Jesus, as they're talking about how Jesus is risen from the dead, Thomas hears the testimonies and he says, "You know what? I'm not quite sure." Everyone say that, "I'm not quite sure." He hears the testimonies that Jesus is risen again and he says, "You know, I'm unsure. Everybody else seems so convinced. They all know about the greatness of God. They all know that Jesus is risen from the dead." But Thomas says, "You know, guys, we've been here 8 days. I've heard everything you've got to say, but I was there when Jesus was hanging on the cross. I wept tears of mourning that day when Jesus hung on the cross. And you know, you may have seen him, you may have experienced him, but I'm unsure. I'm unsure. I don't know what to think about it. I want to believe. I want to believe that Jesus is risen again, but I'm unsure. Everybody else is convinced, but Thomas is just not quite sure." If you pop that scripture up again, please, Brother Morty. Finally, Thomas says to them, he says, "Now listen, I've heard what you've got to say, but except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into those prints of the nails and thrust my hand into his side," Thomas says, "I won't believe." Thomas says to those disciples that day, he says, "I need to experience Jesus Christ for myself. I can hear what you're saying. I've been going to church with you. I want to believe. I want to believe that Jesus is risen, but I've got to experience Jesus for myself." And he says, "Except I could put my finger into the nail prints and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." It's an amazing statement that Thomas made. And that's why we call him Doubting Thomas. He's recognized to this day by his unbelief, and all we seem to know about Thomas is his doubt. But Thomas was a disciple. He had a moment of weakness, and in this moment of weakness, because of that one moment, we now label him for the rest of his life based on a failure at one time. While we look at this moment of weakness of Thomas, hearing the testimonies, hearing all the good news that Jesus is risen again, reading about Thomas's being unsure, we have to say to ourselves that we are a lot like Thomas. Thomas is not very different to us. He's not that much different from us. If we are truthful, brothers and sisters, we will all say to ourselves, we all have moments of weakness. We all have times of doubt. We all need to experience Jesus Christ for ourselves. So if we are really honest this morning, we will say in our hearts, Thomas is a lot like us. Thomas is a lot like us. He hears a testimony that he couldn't quite believe. It wasn't that he didn't want to believe. It wasn't as if Thomas didn't want to see Jesus alive again. Thomas was there at the crucifixion of Jesus. Thomas just wanted to experience Jesus for himself. Thomas wanted to witness Jesus for himself. He wanted to touch Jesus for himself. He didn't argue with the other disciples. He didn't disagree. He didn't discredit their testimonies. He just wanted to know for himself. Turn to the person next to you and say, he wanted to know for himself. So like Thomas, maybe you're gathered here today. Maybe you call yourself a Christian. Maybe you've been coming to church for a long time. Maybe you've felt the presence of God. You've seen God moving on other people. You've heard testimonies of healing. You've heard testimonies of deliverance. You've heard testimonies about how God has turned people's lives around. And maybe like Thomas today, you need to experience Jesus for yourself. So maybe we should call him Honest Thomas. Because he was honest. He was honest enough. Not doubting Thomas. And I wonder this morning, can we be honest enough with ourselves and with God to confess the reality of our condition, to confess the reality of our state of our heart and say, you know what? I need to touch Jesus for myself. I can't rely on my parents or my grandparents' relationship with God, but I need to touch Jesus for myself. And God is looking for people that are honest enough to say, you know that there are some things I don't understand. God is looking for people that are honest enough to say, you know, there's some things that I'm not sure of. God is looking for people that have some doubts and maybe some unbelief in their life, and there's nothing wrong with that because that's who Jesus came for. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to turn the disbelief into belief. He came to turn the doubt into faith. He came to those that were lost. He came to those who want to experience Jesus for themselves. And the reality is this morning, and listen to me carefully, we can stand outside of the blessing of God if we aren't honest enough with God to say, God, I need help. Because the Bible says that God will draw nigh to them that draw nigh to Him. And while you may be surrounded by people who believe, while you may be in a church with people who believe, while you may be married to somebody who believes, while you may be married to someone who's had God do great things in their life, I've come to tell you today that you need to experience Jesus Christ for yourself. So the account that we read here, Jesus was crucified. The Romans are searching for the body and they think someone has stolen the body. The disciples in John chapter 20 are locked up in a room. 8 days of doubt. Out 8 days locked up. Thomas has been there for 8 days. He didn't leave. He didn't walk out of that room after they're talking about seeing Jesus and just slam the door and say, you know what, you're all crazy. He didn't leave. He stayed there. He wanted to believe that Jesus was alive. He had wept just like the others that day. So 8 days of doubt. And maybe you've been here for a while at church. Maybe you've been calling yourself a Christian for a long time, but maybe you still have some doubts. Maybe you are still wanting to see your miracle. Maybe you are still praying for loved ones that are lost. Maybe you're wanting to take that next step in your walk with God. Maybe you are still seeking the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you are seeking deliverance from something in your life. Let me tell you, there is coming a day when Jesus is going to show up for you. There is coming a day when Jesus is going to show up for you. And while Thomas is sitting there in that meeting with those disciples talking about how they had seen Jesus, Thomas is sitting there and he's thinking, you know what? I'm unsure. You know, guys, I want to believe what I'm hearing, but I'm unsure. I've got some doubts. And right at that point in time, pop the scripture up then again, Brother Morty. Right then when Thomas was in his moment of doubt, we read the three words, then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. I've come to tell you that we serve an on-time God. He's not late. He's always on time. He knows where you are. He knows your doubts. He knows your questions. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus is here today and you can experience Him for yourself. If you care to read on, it says the doors were shut. How did Jesus get in? And He stood in the midst. You know what happened right there? The doors were shut. The windows were shut. They were locked in and Jesus was out. And Jesus just walked right through those doors, whew, or through the walls, and just appeared right there in the middle of the room. What are the first words that Jesus says? You know why? He said, peace be unto you. He wasn't saying peace, greetings. No, He saw the fear on their face. They were shocked. Would you be shocked if Jesus just walked through the wall like, whoosh? You know what Jesus would say? He'd say, hey, peace be unto you. Don't be so scared. It's just me. They were scared that day because he just walked straight through the room. He just walks into the room. And if I am hiding and if I'm in lockdown and I'm in a room with just a few others and someone walks through the wall, I'm going to have a problem. The first thing Jesus said, he says, peace be unto you. They weren't expecting it. And maybe today you've put up walls and barriers around your life and you are locked in. You're in a place of doubt like Thomas and you over the years have built up these walls around you and you're kind of locked in your doubt. I'm here to tell you that they are no obstacle for my God. They are no obstacle for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he's attracted to needs. He's attracted to people that have questions and want to seek him out. Then came Jesus. The next scripture, verse 27. Then he said unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Everyone say reach. Or we could say stretch your finger. And behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust or touch. Everyone say reach, and everyone say touch. He says, touch into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. So these two things, reach and touch. Thomas was about to have an experience with God for himself. Reach or stretch. Stretch hither thy finger. Reach thy finger. Faith. Faith is the first part. You need to reach out to God. You need to stretch your faith. And that's what Thomas did right then. He stretched his faith. He reached out his finger. And then what's the second one? It's not just faith to reach and stretch, but we need to touch. We need to touch him for ourselves. Jesus comes in. He goes, Thomas, I've showed up. Thomas, I know that you're in a season of doubt. I know that you've got problems, unbelief. And Jesus turns up and he says, Thomas, I'm here. But listen, Thomas, I'm not going to force your faith. I'm not going to force you into believing. I'm not going to force you into touching me. But I am here for you now, Thomas. Now you have an opportunity to experience something that will give you faith. And that is the way that God works with us. He simply presents himself. And as we've been worshiping God this morning, you've felt his presence moving amongst us. Maybe you've seen God moving on other people and you can say, surely the presence of God is in this place. Yes, Jesus has shown up here this morning. But what do? We need to reach out in faith and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you want to do a work in my life. And then to press past that faith and then to touch him. Just like that woman who needed healing reached out and touched the hem of his garment. We've got to touch him with our praise and touch him with our worship and invite him in and draw nigh to him. And the Bible says that he would draw nigh to us. Jesus simply presents himself. And today, if you need a miracle, if you need deliverance, if you've got a need in your life today, I encourage you to stretch your faith, to reach out and to touch him, to worship God like you've never worshipped him before, to stop worrying about those that are around you and the crowd and the family and the friends, and to say, you know what? You've had your experience with God, but I need to experience Jesus for myself. You see, young people especially young people that have grown up in church all their life, they can go through life and they can follow mom and dad to church. They can learn the words of the songs because we sing them every Sunday. They can learn how to pray. But young people, I got to tell you today, you got to experience Jesus for yourself. You can't rely on mom and dad and grandma and granddad, but you got to experience Jesus for yourself. And it will only happen when you stretch forth your faith and you touch Jesus. If you care to read the Bible and read all the accounts of how Jesus worked and moved, you'll find that Jesus didn't go where he was needed. He went where he was wanted. Jesus didn't go where he was needed. He went where he was wanted. And there are a lot of places and there are a lot of people that need Jesus. There are a lot of needs in this house today. There is a lot of maybe unbelief in this house today. There are a lot of petitions that people have before God today. There are a lot of needs. But Jesus doesn't just go where he's needed. He goes where he is wanted. So it is completely possible that you could turn up to the house of God and be worshiping God. And God says, I know you need me, but do you want me? Are you going to be like Thomas who says, I got to reach out and stretch my faith. I've got to touch Jesus for myself. Jesus didn't go where he was needed. He went where he was wanted. And he hasn't changed. There are a lot of places and a lot of people that need him, but they don't want him. If the musicians could come right now. Then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. In a time of doubt, in a time of uncertainty, in a time where Thomas was feeling lost, he didn't know what to believe, he didn't know where to turn. We read those words, then came Jesus. And today, just in this simple word, Jesus is here in this place. And as I said at the opening of our service, it's not about just getting together and singing some songs. It's not about just getting together and hearing the pastor preach just one more sermon, one more thought. It's not about just getting together and all of these things are important and seeing our friends and loved ones again. But it is all about touching Jesus. Because when we walk through those doors of this church, when we walk through here, these doors, we come into the house of God, and maybe you came for all sorts of reasons, but when you walk through, you need to purpose in your heart and say, yes, I'm here. And yes, I've got needs, but I've got to touch Jesus for myself. One account in the Bible, it talks about the temple. It says they came in by the west gate and they left by the east gate. They came in by the south gate and they went in out by the north gate. Simply telling us that we must never leave the house of God the same way we came in. Too many times people come to the house of God and they bring their doubts and they bring all their needs. But they just can't take that step of reaching and touching. So once again, after a Sunday service is closed, they walk back out the doors the same way they came in. We're going to stand in this place right now as we worship the Lord. If there's needs here today, this altar is open. We're going to have a time of prayer. And as we worship the Lord, why don't you just reach your hands? Just reach out and touch him. Just block out everybody else that's around you. Try not to think about the food that we're about to eat and just give this time to the Lord. Just reach out and touch him because Jesus is here right now.